Hello, everybody. It is Eddie, and I'm glad that you are with us tonight. Got Matthew with us.
Hello, hello.
Hey, I wore my titanium cap. We just had our titanium mastermind, and everybody got a cap or a visor. Took them to the Rangers game the other night.
That didn't fare too well for the Rangers, did it?
No, the Rangers pulled it out, baby.
Oh, they did?
Oh. Scored like six runs in the eighth.
I was looking at that. That was
pretty good. Yeah, the Rangers came on around. Now we had a good time. Yeah. So in spirit of baseball season and the Titanium Mastermind, I wore my cap tonight, Matt.
You just had a bad hair day, don't lie.
I have a bad hair day every day, I think. All right, ready to get started. Let's go with it.
All righty, so let's... Well, first off, Charles is going to be a bit late, so we'll go on to the next thing, and if we get back to it... Well, let me see if Crystal or Marcia are on the call. So, last time I checked... Miss Crystal?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hey, Crystal.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm a little nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It's only me, trust me. It can't be nervous. You can out-talk me with one eye closed. All right, so tell me about it. What we got?
Well, my sister and I, well, actually, Zarina sort of answered us back, but we were trying to determine what to do with $5,000 that we have to invest in our note business, and we didn't know if we should, you know, try to get investors or build inventory. What's the best way to use the $5,000, and we need to build capital.
Well, I'm not saying that you can't find something for $5,000, but I'm saying for the most part, to go build a business, you're going to need to start multiplying yourself, right?
Okay.
And you know, we talk about this a lot in mentoring overall, is using other people's money or brokering or selling a partial and all those kind of things. But I think probably we're guilty of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's all it is committing to a system and a process. That's all it is. Zarina, do you wear your... Oh, yeah, we see you. And
I'm using the laptop mic today, so it might be messed up. So
might be echoey.
Yeah.
So
let me just go get my other one.
Okay, cool. So one of the things, you know, that I would say to you is, you know, this titanium, investor playbook, raising capital playbook that we just released. I mean, it's been like only released a couple of weeks. That really is our best effort to just document it from end to end. Here's what it takes to go raise money. And I just want to remind you, I went for years and years that I didn't have any of my own money. So don't feel like, oh my goodness, this is such a disadvantage, I can't do it. I mean, you know, all of us would love to enter the note business of $1 million in cash, right? But that isn't always going to happen.
Right.
I know that you ask about doing direct mail. And direct mail will make your phone ring. And I'm not saying it doesn't work. And I developed it because it does work. But... you know, if you're going to do direct mail, you're going to have to commit to it. And I don't mean commit to mailing the letters. I commit, it's commit to learning a selling cycle.
Okay.
And without committing to that selling cycle, it's just not going to be everything you want it to be. So specifically, oh, look at that mic. I just have some squirrely looking little mic, nothing like this. So, I don't say absolutely you shouldn't do it up front, because I have a lot of students that bail off in it and do it, but Zarina would tell you that you have to commit to learning how to close these folks. And there's just no other way to do it. Do you think you have any, like, friends and family that have some money that you could do, or would you have to just go out in the street and find some folks, or what, Crystal?
Yeah, I would have to go out and find folks.
You got a bunch of broke relatives like I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yep.
It's almost better. And I would say to you that the easiest thing to broker are going to be performing notes. I'm not big on just brokering, to be honest with you. I know a lot of people ask us this, like, all the time. They want to broker. And I'm like, go figure out a way to keep yourself in the deal. Earning just a brokerage fee it's a one-time shot. And I've done it tens of thousands of times, so I'm speaking from experience. But you'd always rather have, like, a partial or borrow money from an investor, and even if you earn upfront income, but that way you control the deal and you're not just brokering the deal.
Okay.
Remind me where you guys are.
I'm in Maryland and Marsha's in Tennessee.
Okay. All right, so you're near Baltimore or D.C.?
D.C., yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're in a great market. There's no doubt. There's tons of money sitting on the sideline looking for a home in that area. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. So, well, to start out, brokering is not bad. So to cash buyers is not bad.
Again, you can do what is effectively brokering but not brokering.
Okay.
You could either borrow money against them and pledge the note as collateral, or you can sell them a partial. So you get the benefits of brokering without just buying and flipping the note to them.
Okay.
The same financial advantage of brokering, but you have a potential of income not just today but tomorrow too.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So once again, we spent literally hundreds and hundreds of hours, and we just released this capital playbook. And,
yes, sir. I downloaded it.
Hey. Yeah.
And so that's probably going to be a really good way to start.
Okay. Perfect.
I see Zarina's wearing her hat today, but she's got it flipped around.
I gotta she's be got cool, the, you know what I mean? Because if I do it this way, cool then I'm yeah. like you with, like, hair.
You still left a label on your hat. Did you forget that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whatever, I'll take it off.
No,
actually, I kept it on.
I know it's cool to leave it on.
Star-Spangled Banner and somebody knocked my hat off, so. Yeah.
All right.
It's visually cool to
Crystal,
do it.
Was that got your question? I saw you also had another question here on the loan advisors.
Oh, yeah. Zarina already cleared that up. I'm good on that one.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, hang in there with us. Look, bring back conversation or just talking points that you get off the playbook, and let's kind of work through that. That's something, there probably is no topic I like talking about better.
Okay.
Okay.
Will do.
All right. Round two. See you then.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You did great.
Thanks.
All right, Mr. Matt.
You know, Zarina,
we tell her how to do it, okay.
Zarina, I tried to get Mr. Speed to wear his hat like that, but he said he's
too. Yeah, Matt wanted me to wear it sideways. And
not cool enough. But I was noticing, like mine, I have to let out some slack, and you've got, like, excess, so I got a really big head noggin over here, for real.
Yeah, I have always had a small head. I guess my brain is condensed or something. I'm not sure. But me buying a hat has been a problem my whole life, so.
Me too. For the other reasons.
I wish
my head was big. You that.
If I had that kind of capacity, I'd really go somewhere.
Oh, man.
All right, so next up we've got Michael Rogers, who has an asset that is sub-performing on the previous tape that he's locked up, and he's wanting to ask a little bit of a couple of questions about if just a little bit about it. So I'll go ahead and unmute it and let him go through it.
Okay, cool.
Michael, go ahead.
Hello, Eddie.
What's up, Michael?
Hey.
I've got my hat on too, but you guys can't see, so. I had a great weekend with you guys, so it's good to meet you all face to face, finally for the first time, Serena. And Eddie, of course, it was always good to see you.
Yes, sir.
Great time at the ballpark.
We did have a fun time. We had a fun time all the way around, didn't we?
We did. Ice cream social Thursday, the grill and chill on Friday. It was, and of course, the all the content was a lot of information, a lot of good information.
Good.
Highly recommended to everybody.
Yep. It was a good time. We're very happy with the format.
Yeah, it was great. If you had a chance to look at what's there, basically this is a house in Birmingham, Alabama. The BPO on it is 30,000. I think that's probably a little bit low. The unpaid balance is 20. The pay history is sporadic. Matt, I just saw your email where you wanted me to send the latest pay history and other stuff, and I just shot it back to you in the last 3 minutes. I don't know if you have the spreadsheet. You can pull it up. It is in an Excel file. I love the Excel file pay histories. You can format it and filter it and play with it.
So the deal is, it's a sub-performing note. You're wanting to buy it.
Yes.
You hope they're going to pay, but you're just trying to make sure you have a confidence that if they don't pay, you can live with it.
Yes, and I was thinking about doing the 50-50 model because the rents in that area per rent, I didn't do a rent fax because I did see your note too, Eddie, but I did Rent-O-Meter, and it was showing $671. So with the 50-50 model that I also sent to Matt probably a week or so ago, last week, I used $650 as the rent, and then it seems like it'll work, but I just don't know if there's something that I'm overlooking or something
I could be missing. With the $650 rent, I think the only concern is the neighborhood. You know, a neighborhood can be safe and plenty fine at $650, and a neighborhood can be kind of dicey at that. So, you know, to be honest with you, the neighborhood factor is big. Is that truly there, Matthew?
It is.
Yes. That's it.
It looks like green as a garden.
I know. And what's scary is right across from East Lake Boulevard, you see that dark line there that's going up at an angle. That's an airport. So it's kind of like what it was like, not so bad where we were at the American Airlines Training Center, because this is along that is not directly below the takeoff and landing. But that is an airport, the Birmingham, and it looks, yeah, so it's jet service. But they won't be flying overhead because you can see where the green is versus the airport. The house itself looks good from the outside. It's brick. The roof doesn't look too bad. So.
All right. Do you know the income numbers?
In what regard?
Well, I was going to get Matt to pull up the I mean, if you're going to sell it as a turnkey rental, you got to know what the rental numbers are, the rent, and what the expenses are.
Yeah, isn't that the 50-50 model?
Yes. And once again, the 50-50 model is just a backstop, right?
Yes.
This note pretty heavily discounted.
That's the language. That's where I start to get. That's where I start to break down on my understanding.
All right. What percent of the face amount of the note are we asking for it?
Okay. I got that answer. It's right here. You guys, it is 75% investment to unpaid balance. So unpaid balance is about $20,000, and it's priced at the newest tape has it at a different price. This was last month's tape, but at 15, you're asking 15.4 now. BPO value is $30,900. The unpaid balance is $20,000. So you're basically 75% investment to unpaid balance.
Okay. And about 50% of the value.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Got it. So do you know what the taxes would run monthly?
It's around, well, the tax certificate is showing $700 a month. A year, I'm sorry, $700 a year.
All right. So put in about $60 in there, Matt. I'm going to say insurance should probably run, just say $50 is fine. The management fee, NPS is redoing this deal for the 50-50. They have a $85 minimum management fee. Ooh. So it's 10%, but it's always going to be at least $85.
Okay. All right, let's put 85 in there, Matt.
Okay.
I plugged all those numbers in, and I left the term at 60 months.
Okay.
5%. So that tells me, there it is. The sale price is $48,000. If I get this thing for $15,000 and spend whatever I need to spend to get the other guys out and get another tenant in there.
Well, I don't. Let me say this. I don't want you buying a performing note hoping you're going to have to foreclose.
Okay.
Okay. I don't want you doing that. It's a backstop. I promise you, if we call to the sub-performing note, we think they're going to pay. Now, there ain't no guarantees, and that doesn't mean we're always right. I'm just saying, you're sort of speaking like this is an NPL.
Well, that's a good point. It is sub-performing. That's a very good point. I'm not against trying to get it performing again, because when I went through the pay history, I mean, the guys are it's very low. It's only $277 a month they have to pay. But there's a couple months where they don't pay anything, and then they'll pay $600, and so around and around we go. So then you're suggesting that with an NPL, to try to find the story of the home, of the bar, figure out what's going on. Alabama, I don't even know if it's a hardest hit fund, so I'm a bit unprepared for that. I don't know if you guys know.
How far behind are they?
That's a good question. I haven't done that analysis either.
What is that?
Yeah, I mean, I was asking how far they were behind, Eddie. So a lot of these notes we put on here as sub-performing, we price them as sub-performing, but we don't price them as sub-performing that we think they're going to go non-performing. They look like they have a history of just paying late. They may go 30, they may go 60, and then they catch up. The reality of it is they can't go rent anywhere for $270 a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, we buy these as sub-performing. A lot of these we buy as sub-performing, and we buy them on the basis that they're going to continue to perform. They're just slow payers. I mean, unfortunately, there are people that just don't pay on time. And we see that. But we don't buy them in hopes that they're actually going to go non-performing, because we don't think they will. We think that they're going to just be slow pace until we can get them on track.
Matt, let's enlarge that pay history so Charles can look at that real quick.
It doesn't look like they're that far behind. When I filter on so regular payment.
So the last payment that looks like they paid in March, and they paid their February. They're due for February. So they're due February, March, and April. Looks like they paid, actually they paid, let's see. They're paying, looks like every month they're paying. They're just 2 months behind. They just need to catch up.
They're rolling 60.
They're rolling 60. Now, what I would do is I would tell my servicer to, you know what, collect the payment and then defer it. Let's get them current and tell them we're going to defer your payment, but you need to stay on track with your note payments. Because if you look, it looks like they're paying every month. They're just, they're behind. They just can't catch up.
You understand what he's saying, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's totally different than an erratic payer.
That's a good point.
So you described an erratic payer, and Charles described a rolling 60.
What does a rolling 60 mean?
I mean, they say 60 days late, and they're not any worse or any better.
Oh, gotcha.
You just pay every month, they're 60 days late. But the reason you want to make sure that the servicer rolls it forward is because you don't want to pay them a non-performing servicing price.
Yeah, right about that. Okay.
You know, a lot of times borrowers will get behind, you know, 60 even 90 days because they may have had an unexpected expense. It could be a medical expense, you know, or they could have been unemployed for a few months. You know, sometimes they need a little help catching back up. But once you catch them up, they stay caught up. So, you know, that would be my recommendation. It's going back to my server saying, look, call the borrower, tell them you, next month you make a payment, we're going to roll you current, and you have to stay recurrent. That's a requirement. And then that borrower, you know, he's going to probably do everything he can because he knows he can't rent for $270 a month. He's not going to be able to own anything for $270 a month. So that would be my recommendation is to reach out to the servicer and say, hey, look, I want to do a deferment. I want to get this guy current and help him out. And then just tell him he needs to stay current once we do the deferment.
And all
deferments those payments.
Those two payments on the backside of the loan.
Exactly.
Right.
And you're advancing them or deferment, it's all the same thing. Just basically means you're current now.
Yeah, and I'm noticing that the yield on that is 14. My calculation shows that a 14.6 or 15% return. And I guess, I don't know if it's a worst case or best case. If I just get it performing again and put it in my IRA, that's not a bad return for the next 165 months.
That's right.
I guess I prefer to try to keep people in their houses as well because I haven't had to go through the foreclosure, but I'd prefer to get things to work and either sell off a partial. Could I?
Well, there's value there. If you have to foreclose, you're good. But I knew that we see a lot of these loans, you know, and they're just we buy them where they're you know they have a little injured pay history and. You know, that doesn't mean they won't pay. I mean, Charles and Bob, Susan and I, all of us, we've been buying these kind of assets a long time.
Yeah, okay. But again, so the backstop is if worst case scenario, if I had to foreclose and there's enough value there that either way, get it performing again and just take the 14.6% return to the bank, put it in an IRA, I guess, so it's not really, so because I got money sitting in an IRA with 0%, so looking for some notes to buy, and I guess I really wouldn't be able to.
15% is higher than zero.
You got that right. You can do that, man. But I guess I wouldn't need to try to sell a partial on this either.
Here's what I would do. Martha's bought some assets like this, and you just, you know, once again, if you look at their rolling 60, just get them current, let them prove themselves, and then sell a partial. I wouldn't try to sell a partial immediately. That might be a little risky.
No, I agree. I'm just saying that if I ever wanted to flip the money in the IRA to go do something else after it kind of seasons after 6 months or so, there's still enough meat left on that loan because it really was just originated. I could sell a partial and replenish my IRA money to go do something else. So that's like a third alternative.
No doubt about it.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Thanks for that help.
Okay.
Got some questions over that one, Eddie.
Yeah, I saw them. I think we kind of got there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, They were great questions or really kind of comments, but it was, you know. I mean, once again, you buy a loan, it's got a little hair on it, you got to make sure you got a backstop. The reality is, I mean, certainly if you resold it, you wouldn't go sell it for $30,000 again. You can either owner finance it to a consumer or owner finance it as a 50-50 model, neither one of which means that you would sell it for $30,000. I know that's what the BPO says.
Right. I think that BPO is a little low, to be honest.
I know you guys think I have a great deal of confidence in that BPO, don't you?
I think it's a little low. I think it's closer to 40 to 50.
You think it's a little low?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Especially Birmingham, Alabama, it's a hot market right now. Yeah. It's been so depressed.
Yeah, two of the biggest real estate investors in Birmingham are in the mastermind with me.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't pick it up. Oh, different, not mastermind as in what we just had.
No, I'm in that mastermind with a bunch of real estate investors. That's where I saw that billboard. We were riding properties, Zarina, and I saw that billboard. It said, "You got a driver's license and a heartbeat, you can ride."
Oh, man. No comment.
Okay. A little tote to note car business there. Just saying.
You ain't going to ride far. I'll tell you that now.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. It was a tote to note car lot with that ad. I forgot to say that part.
Wow.
So,
all right, Michael, you got it now, brother?
Yeah. I just wanted one last thing. You had said earlier on about the green zone and Trulia, and did you say be a little wary of that, of Trulia data, or I guess I didn't quite get your point about the crime.
Well, may not be on the 50-50 model that we're going to be rolling out the absolute kind of plug-and-play formula for, we're using RentFax because it's a report that the servicer uses, the property manager, and it's also a report that the subsequent investor would use. It's a sales tool, so to speak. I think when you see an area and it's that, it, you know, the crime looks that good, you're probably basically going to be okay.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. I'm good.
All right.
Thanks, Charles. You came in.
Thank you.
Hey, didn't you wear your hat tonight?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, can't you see it?
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. I have it on.
All right. All right, Mr. Matt.
All right. So now we are going to go over to Les. We pull Les in. Go ahead, Les. You're good to go.
Greetings, everyone.
What's up, Les? We missed you this weekend.
Yeah, well, we were kind of snowed in here.
Heard that.
Yeah, at least it's not a flood, and the snow does melt.
Yeah, Houston's the one that kind of got that flooding, kind of a bad situation down there. 16 inches of rain in one day. Is that a lot?
That's more than we get a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad.
All right, so you bought a partial and you got a default.
Actually, I bought the whole note and sold a partial.
Okay.
So I bought it, I think, August 31st. His last payment made was August 1st, and that was literally the last time he paid, although I didn't know that at the time. It got boarded mid-October, say, and we got a note that he was going to put in some money in December and never did. So anyway, the guy, I've called him several times. I've got a number, but he's never returned a call, hasn't responded to anything from the servicer. So we're going to go ahead and see if we can get the house back, which I know we can. We'll just see how it works out. But my question is, so I sold this partial to an investor. He was going to get 100 payments of X amount per month. And now, once we get this thing back, whether we retail it or wholesale it or put owner financing on it and do it that way, somehow there's going to be new numbers. And okay. I'm just wondering about the best way to approach this guy and say, you know, that one didn't work out so well, but, you know, you're still good. We're going to make it work, and here's how we're going to do it. But I don't know what that is yet.
Good question. So what's the relationship with the guy that owns the partial?
This is the good part. He was my sophomore roommate, and he's been in on a couple of syndications I've put together. He's like one of my best buddies.
Okay, so he's not uncomfortable.
No, he's all good. I talked to him a week ago about it and said, we're going to work through something. I've got some ideas, but I'm going to talk to my mentor group, and I'll get back to you.
So here's what I would do, and I've done this with a lot of investors. There's a lot of ways to kind of work yourself out if they get antsy, but it's always easy when they're not, right? You're going to take his investment, and you're going to accrue the anticipated yield on his investment. And then when you get the asset back and resell it, you're just going to repaper the partial to fit his numbers. So he's going to step in line, earn the same return, even earn the return while his money was not being paid back. His money was, quote, at risk, right? Yeah. And just re-amortize it and start over. So his balance is going to go up a little bit, right? Because he had a dark period and he's accruing this interest.
Right.
That's how I've always done it.
So I understand part of that, Eddie. So let's say, I don't know what the numbers are. Let's say he was going to get $300 a month, and it's been 6 months, so I already owe him $1,800. So he's going to get that at some point, but I don't know exactly what you're saying about resetting after that.
All right, let's just say that Zarina buys a partial for me and funds $20,000.
Yeah.
Okay, it goes dark, and she goes from October till June and doesn't get a payment.
Right.
Okay, now, you understand, you went way too long without taking legal action on this, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Zarina goes, Eddie, I'm your buddy. I trust you. We're totally good. But I put $20,000 out and didn't get any return on my money for 8 months. So I got a big head with a big hat and a big hand. Okay, and I want you to feel my hand with the return that I'm supposed to get.
Got you so far.
So you're going to calculate her anticipated return and accrue that so that she would continue to collect her return while her money, any of her principal, was not paid back. The term is money at risk.
Okay.
You get down the road and you want to throw this up on the call and give me, put all the stuff together, and we'll look at the numbers when you get to that point.
Okay, so far I'll just let him know that even though you didn't get...
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You're not going to get shorted.
Right.
I know you're not getting paid. I'm working at it. I got a resolution. I'm not worried about it. But I know that you have to be paid for your anticipated return while you were getting nothing.
Okay. Can I give you...
You're going to take that amount of money.
Right.
And then re-amortize the number of payments she's supposed to get. That make sense?
That's where I'm lost. Re-amortize the amount. So
listen, it goes from 20 to 23.
Right. Okay, I got that.
23?
Yep.
No. You're not going to write a check for $3,000.
No.
You're going to take that money at the new payment and re-amortize the partial investment.
Ah, okay.
That way the investor is earning a true, whatever it is, 8 or 9, 10% return while their money is out.
Okay. What if we decide to just pull out of the deal and sell the thing for, like, let's say we get $40,000 for it, and it's just cash.
Well, then what's Zarina going to get?
Well, she's going to get
analogy,
her principal back.
How much would she get?
Well, she'd get her principal back she put in, and then she'd get the accumulated stuff she didn't get.
Instead of getting 20, she gets her 23, right?
Right.
Bada bing, bada boom, there you go.
And we don't split anything beyond that necessarily.
You're not partners with... I'm not partners with her. She's just an investor. I'm using her, obviously, as a, you know, something they can relate to, because I've, sure. you know. No, you're not partners.
Ah. Okay. Well, that's definitely doable.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you're not shorting the investor. That's a fair deal.
Yeah. Okay. So he'll still get his return over the time.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. And before we sign off, I just wanted to say thanks again to Zarina for that capital money thing. I've started up the first meetup group in Colorado Springs for notes, and we're having our first meeting on Thursday, and that's the presentation.
Hey, cool.
Hey, good for you.
So that'll
be good. I'm just shocked you did all that for free.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, thank you, you did a good job. Her and Gina both.
Okay.
Very proud of that.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Charles, are you home?
Nope.
I'm here.
All right.
Oh, not me.
He always
He's got the wrong him. One.
He didn't show us.
We lost you.
Yeah. So, can you see the screen, and you need me to read it out to you?
Let's see here. Just go ahead and read it, Matt.
So this is the NAA asset that we wanted to kind of talk about on the call.
Okay.
This is just a case study, right?
Yeah, this is a case study. So this is an asset that we had foreclosed on, and we took it to NAA, boarded it with NAA to handle the marketing, securing, and everything on it. Matt, you got the BPO?
Yeah, I'm pulling that up right now.
Can you read that, Zarina?
She needs some big glasses for that.
Okay, boy, you're going to really blow that up. That was looking like Chinese. All right. I'm sorry, but it was looking like Chinese letters there. All right, so this is a BPO. Property was in Fillmore, Michigan, or Bay City, Michigan. Excuse me. It's on Fillmore Place. Matt, let's scroll down a little bit. Of course, as everybody knows, there's thousands of REOs, so the comps in Michigan were a little low, I think, on this BPO.
There we go.
So here's the sales. Go up here. So you've noticed there's one REO there that was a sale and two traditional sales. And let's see what they sold for, Matt. Sales price, $6,800, $9,500, and $10,405. So the highest sales price we had was $10,405. And so NAA goes out there. Matt, you didn't by chance look at the rent on this particular house, did you?
No, but I will real quick.
Let's go on down and look at the pictures while we're on here. So we had a BPO on this deal for $3,000. No, excuse me. What was our value on this, Matt? $9,000?
It was about $9,000. Yeah.
$8,000.
Yeah. Oh, $5,000?
Yeah.
No. It was for
$8,500. So I listed this with NAA. NAA came back and said, okay, you know what, this house is worth more than the $8,000 where the BPO came in. He said, you know, we're going to go out there and secure it. We'll do some cleanup, house.
That house is only worth $8,500.
But NAA said, you know, you look at this house and, you know, the broker again is going by pulling all these comps in the neighborhood. And they said, you know, this house is not that bad of a house. They said, you know, we can go there and do some repairs, make it ready. They went there and did some sheetrock on it. Didn't spend a lot on this house. We turned around and NAA sold this house last month on a seller finance note. And the contract, I believe, came in on this deal at 30, in the low 30s. So we did a seller finance, qualified the borrower. Borrower put 5% down. And no, put 10% down on this particular one. And so my point is that, you know, this is one of three properties.
$3,500 down?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was one of three properties that NAA sold for me. And last month, BPOs all less than $12,000. And so the nice thing about NAA is when NAA goes out there, they evaluate these homes. They look at rents in the neighborhood, and they back into the rental versus the payment. They back into that payment. So, you know, if you sold a house for $10,000 and were financed, you're going to have $100 a month payment. NAA doesn't do that. That's not the way they do it. They go out there and they look at what's the real value of this house. You got a BPO value, but what's actually the real value of this house? And like I say, we moved 3 properties last month with BPOs all less than $15,000, and our lowest sales price on those 3 was $31,000, and I believe our highest sales price was $38,000. 2 of those, all we did was secure them, trash them out, and mow the yard. We didn't do anything else. The buyers bought them and are doing which the ones that needed repairs, and all 3 of them needed repairs. Don't get me wrong. They did need to be repaired, and we were going to sell them as is. NAA came back and said, no. They said, we can sell them as is, but you can't sell them for BPO. This is not what the value is. This is based off of what comps. The value is based off of comps they pulled in the neighborhood, but if you look at the rental in these neighborhoods, this is what we're going back into the payment, and that's what they did. And we moved 3 of these houses like that last month, Eddie. I've got 2 or 3 under contract this month with NAA. It's a similar situation. So it just goes back to say that, you know, what Eddie and I always talk about is you can't go by what the BPO tells you the value's worth. You know, that's not, you know, that's what the market, and that's the opinion of the realtor, and that's what's selling in the market. That's just because people say, okay, I'm going to sell for that because you told me it's worth $10,000. I'll take $10,000 for it. The market drives the comps.
Charles, this is what I call unique real estate. It's just like land, you know? And you know, you and I for years did a lot of land deals in the tens of thousands, literally.
Right, right.
And, you know, land with owner financing, and if you get some guy out there riding the property and stuff, you know, land will sell on a monthly payment. You know, people will pay $300 or $400 or $500 a month for a tract of land. Call a realtor. I'm telling you right now, I've had realtors on these types of houses and realtors on selling land. That, I mean, to them, it's a nuclear waste dump. It has no value.
Exactly.
But let's be fair about it. If you're a realtor and you're pretty sharp, and we've got some pretty darn sharp realtors that have sold cheapo properties in note school, they can't spend any time. I mean, they're just like, they're going to list it. You know, what kind of commission can they make on an $8,500 house, right? So
exactly.
they're either you just know by how much money they're going to make at the end, they can't spend any time on it. Or the other end of the spectrum, you're not dealing with the most competent realtors. Now, I'm not saying there's not competent realtors that sell cheap houses. What I'm saying is the competent realtors can't spend any time. And they can't be creative because when they were selling REOs, the banks wouldn't let them be creative. Yes, yeah, it's a safe area. So a lot of times when you guys are like showing us these assets, particularly like we're having a conversation on evaluating this stuff and like on the non-performing side or whatever, and we're just like, and you got a BPO and we're kind of disregarding the BPO, we just kind of understand that this unique real estate is not going to be correctly valued based on what comps and MLS are going to say it's worth.
Yeah, I think I just seen this in here. Matt had a $700 a month rent.
Yeah, 730.
So, 730. Okay, so, you know, NAA may even undersold this property. Based off of a 730 rent, we probably could have got more. I was happy with my 30. I think this came and went in for 35, 36,000. But, you know, we created a note. Now we've got a performing note. But, again, you can't count on the, you know, if you go out and ask a realtor about seller financing, they look at you like, what are you talking about? And that's the beauty of NAA. They understand this business. They've been in this business for years. They financed thousands of land contracts over the years. And, you know, I mean, I have to tell you, I let NAA handle all my REOs. You know, they do an excellent job. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff on their plate, but you know, they've proven that you can sell these REOs and you sell the payment, and you don't have to. I mean, they get what it's really worth.
Well, they do, and the reason we wanted to just show this, and we'll use some more case studies, but the reason we wanted to just do this is because we wanted to make sure that you guys kind of got the picture of this is what we keep talking about. This is a life example. You know, Charles knows that if he'd have sold that house for $8,500, because that's what the BPO says, he would have just prayed that Ed would have never found out about that. Because everybody in our office knows. I'm like, $8,500? Are you crazy? So we just know. And that's why we like for you guys to submit this stuff and let's beat it up and talk about it. And, you know, because you just almost know before you even pull your calculator out the math's going to work. And I get it. Some of this stuff, it's, you know, when you foreclose, it's trashed and, you know, or the, you know, the it's this or that. These are used houses. So, you know, they got a scratcher tip.
Right, and I've got more case studies. I'm going to show these, you know, throughout our call, so you can see more of these case studies, because people are like, how do you do that? You know, the house is only worth $88,000. How could you go sell a house for $35,000? They do it every day. And again,
well, once again,
you have to look at the rent.
If you guys will do a case study and pull your numbers together and get your information together, we're happy to go through it on this Monday call and really look at it. I mean, we Charles and I like doing it. Now we're gonna treat you like adults. We're gonna want you to go do your homework. Boy, that poo poo's everything, doesn't it, Zarina?
Oh shoot!
All right.
Oh, Barb's got a comment. She said she's got a piece of property in Arcadia, Florida that she tried to sell on owner finance.
I don't have enough information. It's kind of like I appreciate that, and I don't know what the, but once again, it's like I don't have enough information to make a decision. I don't mean that we would be opposed to looking at or talking about it, but I just don't have all the facts.
Gotcha.
You know, not every story and not every house in the same condition or the same neighborhood, so I can't really say. But that I'm just trying to distinguish that when I say that to you, that's why we've got to go pull it together enough to kind of, you know, get the details on it. All right, Mr. Matt, is that we're wrapping up here?
Well, I just wanted to take that opportunity to say two things. Number one, Barb, if you'll send that into content, we'll kind of put everything together and we'll try to get it on the call and start working through that with you so that you can get the best resolution. But the other thing is, before we go to open mic, as you can see on the, there is a new email for content docs. So we have an issue security-wise with opening up zip files. So we basically halted opening or taking or receiving or sending out zip files just because we found that a lot of Trojans, viruses end up in those, and so we don't open those up anymore. So the best solution that we came from that is, and this will always be on my email when I send you a, hey, can you send me this? At the bottom of it, you just click on it, and there is a little thing where you can drag over your documents to it, and it'll submit your documents right away, so you don't have to go and pull them up and try to find, just it'll, you can just drop them into that little thing and then send it, and it'll come directly to content, and then we'll be able to open those up a lot easier than you having to send them one off and then trying to figure that stuff out. But just send the information to content, and if I tell you, hey, you need to send in the BPO or the title report or pay history, just at the bottom of my email you'll see send those links, and you'll be able to upload them there.
Good.
That link is also going to be put up on the webinars page, not the registration page, but the page that just says webinars and has all the information. That link's going to be posted up there as well. So.
Okay, great.
So we have extra time to do open mic if you guys have any questions, raise your hand or do whatever, and we can answer some questions. Otherwise, Mr. Speed's going to start singing.
Ooh, talk, people, talk.
if you're doing the open mic, it's going to be fast, because
–
too much.
I'm recognizing a lot of names on this list now. Like faces yeah. now.
Yeah, I would say we're well attended tonight.
Indeed.
All right, Matt, let's talk about a couple of announcements. All of you have been hearing about Summer Summit. And let's see. I think we got that fixed there. I know that you can go to that link and do it. noteschool.com/summer-summit. And I think the little video's on there.
Pull it up.
So we got a lot of stuff planned for Summer Summit, right, Zarina?
We do.
So there's our little video that we did. So if you guys haven't seen that, click on there and look at it. It talks about the one-day class with Dykes Botiford. Got some details on the evening event of the Dykes Botiford class too, Zarina. So all the people that do the class that day, we're gonna load them up and take them to Fort Worth and. Going to have the best barbecue in Fort Worth. That's according to Mr. Finoglio. I suspect he knows. And then we're going to have a nice dinner. There is going to be availability if some guys want to tour a hat store. We've got a special tour of a hat store. And then the Fort Worth Stockyards. And then we are going to be entertained by a pretty famous up-and-coming cowboy comedian named Chad Prather. But Google that, Zarina. Chad Prather. He's got like 400,000 people on Facebook. Yeah, so he's actually an up-and-comer, and he is a friend of Mr. Finoglio and a friend of the Child Welfare Board, and totally free, he is going to entertain us. Now, he is like doing, I think this past weekend or the weekend before, he was the entertainment at Billy Bob's. So this is like a cool deal, and this has just kind of been added to the equation. So he has been a resident of the Note Recovery Center too, Zarina, just so you know.
Yeah, believe it or not, I've seen him on Facebook like just in a thread before, and I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, that's him. So he's our entertainment. The barbecue is super awesome. Seriously, it's like the best barbecue in Fort Worth. So anyway, that's the day of the Dykes Botiford thing. So this is more than just working hard all day. We're actually going to go have some fun too. And then Summer Summit will be jam-packed. We are working on completing the curriculum right now, but I guarantee you, Zarina, there is not a mentor student alive that wouldn't get a lot of benefit of coming. You agree with that?
Yep. Yep.
So that's going to be fun. And very informative. In fact, I've spent a lot of the afternoon helping Martha a little bit with a kind of beginning stages of a project on some deep, deep dive on partials. I know y'all find that shocking. That's a popular subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Zarina?
Mm-hmm.
Nice to have you tonight.
You're welcome.
I know you got to take care of your mom tomorrow. Got to get her patched back up. So our thoughts and prayers are with her.
Thank you.
And let us know how she's feeling.
I will, and then I'm out of here, going back up to Ohio next week.
Going back.
Yeah.
We need to work on your house a little bit and make it a case study on one of these noted your way out of situations, I think. Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Matt, you thawed out up there in Denver?
Yeah, believe it or not, it seems like it snowed about a week ago. We had about a foot, and then there's almost nothing left.
Had a foot of snow yesterday, and he said it's almost melted today. It's crazy, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
Him and Emily got some little house dog.
Good luck.
I don't know what they do with that thing when it snows that much, because I don't think that dog would suffocate out there. I think old Matt has to go out there and take the lawnmower and crank it up and spin him off a spot with that dog and do whatever it needs to do.
That's about right.
All right. Glad to see all you guys that were with us last weekend. I thought it was really a superb time, and really appreciate your kindness and the communication you've told us about how you felt about the event. And got San Francisco coming up this coming weekend, and Fort Lauderdale coming up the next, and got a couple more events in between here in Summer Summit other than those two. So anyway, glad to have y'all with us tonight. We will see you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.